Okay, it's 8:08 here on the morning show, last hour of the show today. And Dave Simonson with Joco First is joining me in the studio. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, Mark.
You've been traveling.
I have been.
Are you ready for Thanksgiving?
I am. We're, you know, I decided that this year there will be no cooking in the house. And we're going to go to one of the local establishments and pay for a Thanksgiving
meal. Okay. You know, there's just the two of us, and so we always debate that every year. And last year we had a turkey breast smoked by Doug Meacham over Rolling Coals. We're going to do that again this year. But, you know, there's some great meals out there. I just had Jennifer Johnson talking about the Virginian. Yep. They're filling up with reservations, so there's a lot of restaurants that we have a lot of great restaurants here in Buffalo, and some are ready for Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And we have a lot to be thankful for. So
absolutely, we do.
Most definitely.
We do. You know, Dave, I'm glad you're on this morning because I know that last week you and I have talked about. I was at the county commissioner's meeting when you were proposing that the property on Plains Drive would be put up for sale, and with the understanding that the cash flow was needed for some things like Interapt, the possibility of Interapt coming in. And you know, I've talked to you a number of times about Joco First and the opportunities there to help businesses and incubation and everything. And you know, some of the editorial came in the Buffalo Bulletin last week. Like, wow, I've talked to Dave a lot of times. I didn't get that impression at all.
You know, some things are fact based, and some things are not.
And so I thought we'd just talk about that today.
And
so.
I'm glad you asked me too, because I definitely want to clear up the misperception and I say misperceptions. I'm not sure what it is, because you know, the reporter interviewed me earlier in the week, and I gave him the facts, and the facts were not put into the article or the editorial, unfortunately. And I'm not sure why. That's not for me to debate. That's theirs. And so, but I do want to get the facts out there, because there's a lot of, you know, good things out there. There's a lot of and there's a lot of misinformation out there now as well.
Okay. Well, you know, Mountain Meadow Wool, they've been an award-winning business. They've received some awards. I mean, you know, from all intents and purposes, they're doing a great job. Yes, their building is on one of those properties that you would like to sell. I would think a successful business would rather own their property rather than pay rent.
Sure. And so, there's two things that... And maybe the way we went about it from our organization was wrong. You know, under our agreement with the county and the city, any property we own, if it's in the county owns half.
Mm-hmm.
So they would get half of the sale in this situation, because both buildings are in the county. So we went to them to, one, ask them permission, because they are half owner, and two, to ask them to not require us to give them the proceeds from the sale. So if we sold either building, we would be able to use that proceeds
to reinvest in a new prospective business.
Yes. In 18 Plains Drive, we have a note that would have to be paid off, and then any extra would be used because of the way the commissioners wanted us to do it, it would be used for capital projects. In this case, renovating the Civic Center. The entire second floor has never been touched. There's renovations that need to be done, in order for it to be usable, in order for us to get an income stream to increase the viability of that building from a business perspective. The issue and the decision comes from the standpoint, 22 Plains Drive, the building that Mountain Meadow Wool was in and LBI was in. Let me back up. Interapt has never asked us to do anything with our facility on their behalf.
Okay.
I want to get that out there. They have never asked us for a dime to do anything with our facility. My board saw this as an opportunity, and it is an opportunity, to bring grant dollars into the community because of the InterWrap project. Mm-hmm. We applied for those dollars. InterWrap did not apply for those dollars. InterWrap wrote a letter of support for the project. That's the extent of InterWrap's involvement.
So you're saying it was the board decided that this was an opportunity to reinvest into the building and the infrastructure. InterWrap might benefit that, but they didn't ask you to do that.
They have not asked us. There is no lease. There's been no negotiations. There's no guarantee that they will come in. I say that. They have said that, yes, if space is renovated, they would look at it. They would potentially lease it. Conversations with them is long-term, though. They want to be out in the community. They want to be their ideal location, right or wrong. It's not my place to decide, is on Main Street.
You've said that before, yes. that your long-term goal would be to locate there, but in the interim, for maybe 3 or 5 years, they might have to be in an incubator status at the Civic Center.
So from my board is looking at this from a business perspective as well, and we have to. Times are tight. So in order for us to, I mean, right now that building is cash flowing, barring a major disaster. That disaster could come from one of the boilers going out. It could come from a leak in the roof, because while two-thirds of that building has been roofed, one-third, the entire west wing, is over 10 and I believe maybe even 15 years old right now. Might even be 20. But it's out of warranty. We've been told that at some point it's going to need to be replaced. So if we get a hailstorm or something happens, a major breach in the membrane.
Well, I owned an old building with skylights, and so when you have an older roof with skylights, stuff could happen.
Absolutely. So the board looked at this as a way to get some space, the rest of the building developed, address some fire and safety code issues, which was totally left out of the picture, but that is an issue that we have to look at. We do not want the Boys and Girls Club to be displaced. There's not a lot of options for them in the community. Mm-hmm. So there's another reason that we're looking at trying to bring some money in as well. In addition, by finishing out that space on the second floor, we are then provided with space that is usable, whether InterWrap's in there or another business is in there. Doesn't matter. What that does is bring additional cash flow into our pockets that we're then able to hopefully put into a fund to be able to, a sinking fund for the building, to be able to at least match some dollars to fix any major thing that goes wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have that ability right now without going to the city or county and with our hands out. And times are tough. We have to tighten our belts. They're tightening theirs. We have responsibilities. So that's where that is at.
Well, and Mountain Meadow Wool, they started operations, what, maybe 8-10 years ago?
They actually started longer than that, but they've been in the building 10 years ago. And they wrote, on behalf of the Joint Powers Board, a grant, a $1.5 million grant, to purchase the building and put a lift station in out there. The Joint Powers Board received that grant, and for the last 10 years, we have provided them an incentive. You know, I grew up on a farm. I raised sheep. I had the market Penta 3 champion, grand champion. I had the grand champion lamb for a couple of years. I've been there and done that. I take pride in my background, and I love agriculture, and agriculture is the basis of this country, or has always been. What we have to figure out from the business standpoint, from Mountain Meadow Wool standpoint, they came to the board and made a verbal offer of $400,000 on the facility. My board we're a public entity. We have responsibility to the public. We're publicly funded, with the exception of about $12,000 to $15,000 that comes from private entities. So we have a fiduciary responsibility to that public. And to those entities that fund us, the council and the commission. It's a fine line to provide an incentive to a business, no matter what that incentive is.
Mm-hmm.
We have provided to Mountain Meadow Wool for the last 10 years reduced rent, below market rate. To the tune of, they're paying probably somewhere between a third and a half of market rate rent. What does that mean in dollars and incentives? Over 10 years, that's someplace between $500,000 and $800,000 that could have come into our coffers had we had a business in there that was paying full market rate rent.
Let me stop you there, though. As an economic development, you want to do those things. You want to provide a lower rent for businesses that are growing and getting off the ground. So you did that for Mountain Meadow Wool.
Absolutely. It was a decision of by the board of, you know, because one, this business is important in this community.
Sure.
Two, they bring in a lot of people to this community, tourists, which brings in additional dollars. So there is benefit there. They did a cost analysis of what that benefit was. The numbers they had still didn't outweigh the loss in the benefit of the rent. But that's, you know, they have a lot of great ideas. There's a lot of great concepts. It's a fantastic business. Somehow, you know, to expect the board to sell a building that they just had a market analysis done that said it's worth $1.5 million for $400,000, even using the idea that they presented of, hey, we paid X amount of dollars in rent, we should be able to reduce the purchase of that building by that much. That's a pretty big economic incentive when we've already given the incentives that we have. And it's a tough, to, you know, as a small organization, we're not sure we can sell the building. We get a pretty good income from that building. That decision has not been finalized. One would not know that by listening and reading. But that decision, there is no final decision made to sell that building. As a matter of fact, the discussions with individual board members that I've had, there's more leaning towards continuing rent with maybe an increase in rent.
Mm-hmm.
But that income is very important to our organization as well. From an operations standpoint, and with the budget cuts that we've taken and that we're looking at coming up, the elected officials are being very clear on that. There are more budget cuts coming. If we can't operate, what happens to our building? Again, it goes to the county. What kind of landlords will the county be? And I'm not trying to insult the county by any means, because I just know that they don't want our buildings.
Well, that's not their primary role.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, you talk about if you were – an individual is looking to buy a piece of property, to a house, for example, and a rent to own, or a prospective business. I want that property, and I want to rent to own it. Then you would expect that you're going to pay the full amount of the rent, because at some point in time, that would go towards the purchase price. When you've stayed there for a period of time at a reduced rent, mm-hmm. It wouldn't seem that logical that you could then use that that money that you've reduced rent to pay for the building on a rent to own if you haven't made that agreement to begin with.
Yeah. So, well, and that's very true. And some of the other things that came into the consideration on this is their model, their business model, again, right or wrong, part of their business model is they provide a financial incentive to the ranchers. They pay a premium for the wool that they purchase.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, Joco First, by providing a reduced rent, has provided an incentive not only to that business, but to all those investors,
right. Yeah.
As well as all those ranchers for 10 years. One of the things that I'm considering and that I'm going to propose to my board is a public meeting. I think that, you know, whether they will say yes to it or not, I'm not sure, but that is something that I'm tossing around. Because from an organizational standpoint, I would like to know what the community thinks. I mean, if the community says, hey, yes, absolutely, we need to continue to support this business, and we need to, you know, focus on them. We need to continue to provide an incentive. That'll say something to my board. and that'll say something to the elected officials. Mm-hmm. Right now, we don't know where everybody lies. We do know where a few people lie, and we know where the business lies and where the investors lie. You know, the community as a whole, we don't know where they stand or lie on this.
I thought it was important for you to come on because, you know, we've talked about, you know, JOCO First and their opportunities to help businesses grow and develop and grow and everything. So the things that happened that I read last week just didn't jive with the things that you and I have talked about over the last several months. So I just wanted you to come on and just kind of clear the air on that. Maybe give a little more of a details understanding about what's really happening. So
we have also talked to the bank about traditional financing. We have nothing in writing, but we have we do have something in writing actually. We can get a traditional loan to match the grant and finish out that space, and then require rent that would then bring enough income in to pay that note back. That is an option. We, as a public entity, taking on debt is a difficult decision. It's difficult for anybody, mm-hmm. let alone a public entity. And so that's a last option, a last viable option for the board. And I don't know where the board would fall on that. There, I would expect there would be some that would be more willing to just say, give the money back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and we do have a timeline. The newspaper was correct there. There is a timeline that we have to have that commitment, but we already have it. We have the bank's commitment on financing. We can turn that into the EDA, and that's acceptable. We're ready to go forward. The question, again, is does the bank want to use that bank financing, encumber themselves for X number of years at X amount of dollars, from an organizational standpoint, and that decision has not been finalized.
Okay, so you know, let's be clear that you know you said from the outset today that the InterWrap project is a total separate thing.
Yes.
from your plans to your board's plan to invest and increase usable space in the Civic Center. So let's switch gears and we'll talk a little bit in the few minutes we have left the status of the InterWrap process. Where are we at with that?
Absolutely.
I know that those of us been following this to get a little frustrated by we thought that the opportunity to talk to Endow was which is the governor's economically needed diversification for Wyoming, close to that, paraphrasing, it was a good proposal, and they haven't come through with money yet.
We have, we're actually in my hands. I just sent the company an email yesterday stating that I've reviewed their documents, including a business plan with financials, including a new proposed plan on how to implement this project, which is super exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that's exciting about this company. This company is doing something that's on the cutting edge. It's new. It's been done, but done different ways, never done the way they're doing it. And so every time they do it, every step they take, they're learning, and they're changing, and they're adjusting, and they're making their business plan better. And I teach business, and it's exciting to see that model put into play because it's a model that I teach.
Mm-hmm.
And they have now gone from originally of $1.8 million, actually it was $2-some because they were bringing in a huge amount of money. And
I think $750,000 it was proposed from InterWrap.
And they still are, but their request now from the state of Wyoming or Johnson County or the city of Buffalo or JOCO First is $250,000 to get the training up and going. In addition to that, they would be requiring to put a certain amount of business into place that those students will be able to work on and do. Obviously, the businesses that have that business need, whether it's hey, I need an app design to be able to sell my product to the, mm-hmm. you know, or mm-hmm. or I need to get information out to people, and I need an app design for that. There's the uses are only limited by our minds.
Well, you've talked about that if we can get businesses to provide opportunities for them to provide the app technology for those businesses that are in operation now, it would reduce the amount of money needed to put Interapt in play here.
It absolutely will. Yeah. And that's the newest model. Is they've established that $250,000 amount. They've also established a baseline for that work. So there's a certain amount of work that would need to be brought in order for that to take place. But it makes it much more doable. The $1.8 million that was quoted in the newspaper is incorrect now. And that that number was provided to them, but unfortunately was not printed. And so it's a number. It's, you know, I look at it and I smile because, you know, $250,000 for a project like this where you're going to end up with trained coders in a community that may or may not choose to work for the company and the community, but can do whatever it is they want to do once they mm-hmm. have that training. Mm-hmm. To me, that's exciting. That's a way to diversify this economy. And no, we are not incenting an outside business more than an inside business. That's ludicrous.
Okay. So are you saying that a $250,000 is needed, and we can bring this coding company to Buffalo? Is that what you're saying?
$250,000 and the associated work, the contracts for work that the students can complete during that training time period.
Okay. I would think Endow is going to be excited about that.
It opens up Endow. It also opens up the possibility of some other workforce training dollars. One that we dismissed because they required at least 80% of the people to be employed after the training. That's a high number, and community colleges can't even achieve that number. One, it takes 6 years for I think it's right around 50% or a little over, between 50 and 60% of the students just to graduate from a community college. That's a two-year program for, you know, the or considered a two-year program for most, but I'm an example. It took me more than 2 years to go through the community college, but I was married, I had a child, I was working full-time, and
yeah.
But that's why community colleges exist. Our training program being 6 months, we're still trying to put a stipend in place. That's not 100% for sure yet, but we're still working on it. The $250,000 is broken down in their business plan, very detailed, down to $20,000-$25,000 increments. The biggest purchase or the biggest expense out of that is the 50 computers for the students. Those are over $1,000 a pop, so that's the biggest line item, $50,000+ for Apple iBook or I'm not an Apple person, so I'm not sure the name of it, but anyway, so that's part of that $250,000 as well, is the students' computers that they will be using for the training.
Yeah, a computer can be a number of different things. You know, you can't just buy the minimum size computer and expect to be able to do the coding. So there's going to have a little bit of bells and whistles on those computers to do what's necessary for coding.
That is absolutely right. The hardware requirements is different than you or I would use for our standard word processing, Excel, PowerPoint, things of that nature. You know, they're creating the code that is behind those programs. So yeah, they also use the cloud, so they don't have a lot of hard technology, you know, from the standpoint of storage and data. It's a specialized trade, and as a result, requires specialized equipment.
So if the money were magically appear next week, at what point? What's the timeline for getting the coding program underway?
Well, the last time that I think we spoke, we were still looking at the January 2018. The reality of that is now, bottom line, short answer, we haven't set a timeline beyond that date. reason is we have to get that funding in place, and I don't want people's expectations to keep being dashed.
If you said April, then people will get excited about that.
Yes. So. What I'm saying is my organization goal is to make this happen. Unfortunately, I have a call into the company. I have not been able to talk to Encore since the newspaper article and the editorial came out. It is our editorials like that that I've seen in other communities a company read and turn around and say, thank you, but no thank you.
Mm-hmm.
That is to be determined. I'm hopeful that they will, that I'll get a call back from them today and that the news will be positive, that we can continue to move forward.
We can always tell Encore that we had a great conversation here on local radio that we're positive for Interap.
Well, so. Hopefully you'll put it on your website and he can go listen to it.
We're going
to
do that.
Because send me the link and I will shoot it off to him. Absolutely. Bottom line is both businesses are important to this community. We have a business that's in the community that's important because it is here. We want to keep it here. My board members and I don't know why they haven't asked to renegotiate their lease. When I see them, I'm going to ask them that question. If they're listening, I'm asking now. That is the simplest way to provide some security and stability for them, because we can put things into the lease, even if we did decide to sell it, that would provide them security from a business standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
That's our next step.
Public meeting is possible. You said you'd like to see that happen.
I am going to talk to my board about that and see if they are interested in doing so. We don't want to put the business into a tough situation. Either business, Interap or Mount Metal Wool, the success of those two businesses are important. We just have to figure out a way to be able to continue to do either. If we continue doing what we're doing currently with Mountain Metal Wool, it's going to require a change. It's going to require more support from an outside entity, or maybe their investors have to step up something. I'm not sure what it is. Or maybe the community comes to a public meeting and says, absolutely, we support this business and we want to continue these incentives. Okay, well, that sends a message to my board and to the city and county and says, okay, how can we make this happen? I don't know what the correct answer is at this point in time, what the outcome will be, but no matter what, we are working towards and we'll continue to work towards the best interests of Mountain Metal Wool and yet still keep the interest of the public and the responsibility that we have from a financial responsibility in mind.
Okay. Dave, thanks for being on this morning and kind of clearing the air and providing a little bit more information on the idea of Mountain Metal Wool and also Interap. And I guess the message I'm hearing from you is that they're two separate. Your board's interest in improving the infrastructure at the Bomber Mountain Civic Center and Interap and Mountain Metal Wool are wholly separate.
That would be correct, just as is the Tech Park application that's going before the Business Council on December 7th.
Okay.
So, which is another conversation for another day.
Well, we'll have you on to talk about that.
All right.
Dave, thanks for being on this morning, and happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much, and happy Thanksgiving to you and everybody else.
We'll take a break. Be right back.